This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
We led off talking about the disappointment for Louisville last night, led by 14 points in the third quarter and just could not hold off a Stanford team that started to find that stroke. And man, when they make threes, they're a problem. And a 17-2 run got them right back in the ball game, a 10-0 lead there in the fourth quarter, stretched the lead, and Louisville just couldn't catch up. Simple as that. Monica McNutt is up and at 'em, and she's going to join us right now, as always. Monica, what's happening? You doing okay? A little cup of coffee? You're good to go.
I'm good. Listen, I'm here. I'm ready. This was a tough game, tough out for the Cards, but ultimately, I got an alarm going off. Hold on, y'all. Ultimately, great season.
I got an alarm going off. Oh, yeah, 8 o'clock, supposed to do Packer and Durham this morning.
That was the reminder. That was the reminder is what that
thanks
was.
Thanks for the reminder. Yeah. Don't worry, that won't make the best of real. Okay, here we go. We said in hour one, it really was a tale of two halves. I don't know that Louisville could have scripted a better front 20 minutes last night, Monica.
Yeah, I would agree with you 100%, Wes. In fact, of course, we got our group text firing off. Kelly, myself, our producer, Cody, our host, Kelsey Riggs. Stanford was ice cold from three in the first half. And you really had to credit Louisville. I think Rebecca Lobo did a great job of pointing out how deliberate and focused Louisville was defensively, considering that they had a size advantage. I mean, anybody that has followed the women's game knows that they came into this ball game with a significant size disadvantage, I should say, rather. But in that first half, I mean, I thought Mikasa Robinson gave them great defensive energy. Kiana Smith, we were texting back and forth, oh, is this about to be a DePaul performance from her? Narika Kono, who's a name that I feel like gets so overlooked on this roster, but a very capable shooter, hit a big three. So in the first half, you're right. And then you just kind of knew all the things that this Stanford team had gone through. Not that Louisville could not potentially win this ballgame, but you just knew the Cardinals weren't going to go out like that.
Monica, the thing that surprised me about the game is, given how it started in the early part of the third quarter, Louisville's up 14. And like you said, the reason the team has a one beside their name is that they're not just going to roll over and play dead, right? And so to their credit, Stanford, they make a run. You knew they would at some point in time. So they go on this 17-2 run. They take the lead, and Louisville goes back and forth, and we go down the fourth quarter, and Louisville's got a two-point lead, and then, bam, here comes another KO spot, right? A 10th spot right out of the gate for Stanford. They take the lead. I was just waiting, though, for Louisville to give me the counter, right? And it just never seemed to happen. And I guess give credit to Stanford. It's the reason they're a one seed, but Louisville's got a great program, great team, and a great player in Dana Evans, who goes for 24. But we just never got the counter from Louisville once all of a sudden there was a little breathing room for Stanford early in the fourth quarter. Just never happened.
Yeah, Pac, I mean, you're absolutely right. And I think a big part of that, first of all, Ashton Pretzel came off the bench and hit some incredibly timely threes. She really sparked that run for Stanford. But you saw Stanford make a concerted effort to settle down. I thought they did a better job of playing inside out. Both Kiana Williams and Haley Jones found lanes to attack the rim, and they were able to finish. But as far as Louisville goes, it's kind of what we've been saying all season long. And this is no disrespect to this team, but their makeup is heavily contingent on how well Dana plays. You mentioned her 24 points. She had a signature game. Great as she rides off into the sunset, and she announced that she's going to make it official and take her talents to the WNBA. But other than that, Pac, there was nobody else in double figures. And so I think defensively, Stanford is a good defensive team. I mean, they're stout, quite honestly, and they've got size. So it was kind of easy. All right, fine. We'll let Dana get her numbers if we don't have to worry about the rest of you all. And I have said all season that when Louisville is at a disadvantage on the glass, I believe Stanford out-rebounded them 45-37. You know, that's kind of it.
Monica, I want to go bigger picture here. I want to start with Dana Evans because we've watched her as a two-time ACC Player of the Year. Asia Durr was on the show with us yesterday talking about Dana's legacy, and obviously they spent a year together. And I know we're less than 24 hours from the end of her career, but what do you think her legacy is to Louisville and, to a degree, the impact she's had on the ACC the last couple of years?
You know, she becomes, and we have so many talented players in the ACC, but to me, Dana's name is up there with the gold standard in many ways. You mentioned the two-time ACC Player of the Year award, but let's not forget, she was coming off of a sixth Woman of the Year award, and she's one of the, I hate to say one of the few, but you also got to commend her for sticking with Louisville for the duration of her career, you know? She talked about it a little bit in her press conference last night about being pushed by Coach Walls. One thing that Dana has always said when we talk to her on the show, or if you check out the wonderful piece that Louisville has done on her, she said she's concerned with being a leader and making sure that her teammates are okay. And I think you hear that, but if you've never had to be a captain, and I personally was the only senior on my roster as well, you don't quite understand the dynamics of that from a mental standpoint, in addition to being responsible for actually performing and putting up these numbers. So she's obviously, if we had a Louisville Women's Basketball Hall of Fame, or ACC rather, Women's Basketball Hall of Fame or elite class, she definitely would be there. I mean, there's a reason that not only was she Player of the Year in this conference, but anybody that watches basketball will say she definitely should be in the running for National Player of the Year as well.
Yeah, she's great on and off the court, and we wish her nothing but success and happiness. And again, I said to Wes earlier, she's going to be successful no matter what she decides to do in her life, because she's just that kind of person. Jeff Falls has really built an amazing program at Louisville. They've gone to three Final Fours. They're on the doorstep last night. They played better second half. They made it four. And at some point in time, he's going to knock the door down and win a national championship. We know where their program is. It's big time. But how would you categorize this season? It's kind of like what we did yesterday regarding Florida State's men's program. Terrific program. Leonard's got it rocking. Walls has got it rocking. They're winning a ton of games. They're putting folks in the next level. All that stuff. But they're still kind of missing a piece of the big picture. How would you categorize, though, the 20-21 Louisville women's basketball season? How do you define it?
From my vantage point, I would define it as a success, right? And Dana said the only thing that she did not do in her career was win a national championship last night. And I was so thankful that she wasn't crying when she got to her presser. She was very composed. But it's another successful year. And we talked about this a little bit last night on All ACC Pack. I think we take for granted what it costs to be successful consistently. Right. You mentioned multiple Final Fours for Jeff. This is a team that's always in the rankings. He's getting highly touted recruiting class. The Yum Center is rocking for both the men's and women's program, particularly, which has been under Walls' care. You know, women's basketball, obviously, we have our top tier and sort of traditional names. You know, the UConn's, Tennessee's, Notre Dame was in there for a while. Baylor's in that class now. But I think to get to a Final Four, you know, more times than there's a bunch of programs that haven't been at all, quite honestly, right? Like, you have to really stop and appreciate what it costs to sustain greatness, particularly in this era of student-athlete empowerment by way of the opportunity to roll out, right? They could just transfer on a dime. So for him to keep a two-time ACC Player of the Year, for him to get back to multiple Final Fours over his tenure, like, this is nothing to sneeze at. I'm really excited to see where this Louisville program goes, because I like what you said, Pac. They're knocking on the door. Little bit more depth. You know, I think things play out a little bit differently this season. But, you know, and the other part of this, too, we cannot not talk about all of the unusual things that helped us get through this season and really tip our hat to both the athlete staff, the athletic trainers, and the conferences for getting us to this point.
Amen.
Yeah, good points here, Monica. I think I agree with you on that. I think that the cards these schools, pardon the pun, got dealt were all over the place. And they had to try and win regardless of the scenario. And I think you're even seeing it play out at the women's tournament in Texas, just like the men's tournament in Indiana. Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot here before we wrap. All right. Oh, yeah, it's big time. Two things. One, today, who's the favorite next year in the ACC?
Today, the favorite in the ACC next year. Because we had our graphic on the transfer portal last night, so things got shaken up.
The portal. Packer and I have assumed everybody is
everybody's
in the portal.
Gone.
Packer and I are living by the creed. Everybody's in the
portal. Everybody's gone.
Not everybody's in the portal, guys.
Everybody's in the portal.
Pack. Monica. Everybody's in the portal, Monica.
Here's the deal.
Everybody.
We're not wasting any time on who's in the portal. We're assuming everybody's in the portal, and eventually in October, we'll see what a roster looks like.
All right, fair enough. Okay, bearing that in mind, I'm going to go with NC State and Georgia Tech.
Whoa.
How about Virginia Tech? Where would you have the Hokies?
That's actually a good point because we had Asia on the show last night and she is not in the portal. I'm happy to report that.
Right. She's the only one.
Yeah.
That's actually a great point, Pat.
She's the only
player.
Actually
a great point.
Monica, anytime you would like to include me with all the ladies in your little group chat, just let me know. I'm just hanging out here with dogs. Yeah.
No, you know what? You know, Pac, I love you and all, but it's an exclusive club.
I'm not in the club, am I?
Okay.
Virginia Tech is a great call.
Okay. All right.
I'll be here
all week.
Here's
the second question, and this is really important.
Okay.
Because opening day of Major League Baseball is coming up, and I know you're in the D.C. area, but I also know you have ties to New York. In order to continue your appearances on this program, you must tell Packer your favorite baseball team.
Oh, it's my Washington Nationals.
It's all right. I got no problem with the Nats.
That's what I thought.
I got no problem with the Nats.
Okay. At least you didn't say Dodgers.
I mean,
there's only one team.
As long as you didn't say Dodgers.
No, it's not the Dodgers. Of course, it's the Nats.
Nobody
I pulled up at the championship parade, soaked it all in. Like,
that's it.
Yeah, it's the Nats. Let's go.
Yeah, I got no problem with that. I have no issues with that whatsoever.
All right.
There you go.
And I totally understand the exclusive club deal. You got to have rules and regulations. It's your club. You know, we don't just invite ourselves in, even though I tried. I get it. I appreciate it. I respect that. I do. I respect that.
Monica, you know, and I respect both of you, gentlemen. Thanks for waking me up.
One more quick thing. Have you ever had, like, arthroscopic knee surgery?
I have not, thank God. Knock on all the wood.
Okay.
I had a shoulder thing, but I haven't had any knee things.
Come on, guys.
Okay. Packers getting ready to probably have arthroscopic knee surgery.
I hope not.
Congratulations. It's something
I'm not happy about it at all. I'm hoping I get news that I don't need it today. Don't need it. But I am
leaning toward.
You gotta think positive, Pac. Like if you need it, then we're making, you know, we're a step closer to the solution. But I'm with you. Hopefully we can do some therapy, some get you in a swimming pool with the pups, you know, work it out that way.
Well, I've already said that if it involves therapy, I will get in the pool, but I will have a ice cube and a glass and some brown water in one hand when I'm wading through the pool. That I will do.
See, Monica.
I don't know that's effective therapy.
That is, what are you talking about? That's the ultimate therapy. Monica, that's the ultimate therapy.
Thank you, Monica. You are the best.
Thanks, guys.
I know that. Hey, by the way, I know this is not as fun as Sports Center. I know it's not as fun as Around the Horn, but we appreciate you being a part of Packer and Durham.
Don't do that. You know, y'all are the place I can pull up in a hoodie and a backwards cap. I love it. I appreciate you guys.
Yeah, you're actually overdressed for this show. I'm going to be honest with you. You're kind of overdressed for us, the way we roll.
Thanks. Be well. Thank you. Appreciate
Thanks, it. Thanks, guys.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Your contribution today will be accepted because it's needed because of our topic today. You get to come up with some ideas.
I bet Elliot Avin will help you through knee surgery.
Oh, he's coming up in 10 minutes.
He'll walk me through it.
Elliot Avin
will help you. Yeah, he'll get you.
NC State baseball, another win last night. They're playing good ball all of a sudden. Got hot, swept the heels, and life's good.
Chris Villeman threw a one-hitter last night against UNC Greensboro.
That'll do the trick.
By the way. All right.
We'll talk some baseball in about 10 minutes.
Okay. I'm going to throw another school out here.
Go for it.
And you tell me. Ready?
Yep.
Wake Forest.
Easy. Jesse Haddock, men's golf coach, multiple NCAA championships.
Yeah, no question.
Curtis Strange, Jay Haas. I mean, he's the guy. Jesse Haddock's the guy.
Lanny Watkins.
He got them all. I'd go Jesse Haddock for Wake Forest.
Haddock.
That's my answer.
Jesse Haddock for Wake Forest. All right.
What do you want me to say?
Cal Stahl? Might be a little
more. You want me to go Cal Stahl with you? What do you want me
Chuck
to do?
Chuck Mills.
There? Chuck Mills.
Chuck Mills.
Just passed away, Mills. By the way.
Yeah.
Late great Chuck Mills.
I know.
Yeah. John McAvick. I'm going to go John McAvick with you.
John McAvick. Brian Piccolo. No. Brian hey, Woody, doing the games on the radio.
Hey, you know, Brian Piccolo, it's close to my heart.
McAvick and Piccolo and Hey Woody doing the games on the radio back in the day with Bill Tate coaching the Deeks.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to go Jesse Haddock.
Say ACCN, by the way. You're going to go Jesse Haddock.
Am. For Wake Forest, for the Swiss, Jesse Haddock.
All right. How about
University of Pittsburgh? Wait a minute. What was your call on that? You agreed? Disagreed?
I don't disagree with Jesse Haddock. Okay. I do not disagree at all with Jesse Haddock. I think when you're talking about a program, it's one of those things that when you say Wake Forest Athletics,
golf.
Beyond the footprint of the ACC,
golf
comes to mind.
No doubt. And Arnold Palmer. The whole
not
deal.
That football doesn't. Not that basketball, baseball, other sports, great program, soccer. But football, but golf comes to mind a lot.
It does to me. To me, it's kind of a no-brainer. Yeah. But maybe, again, doesn't mean we're right. That's why we're throwing it out there for the fans to have some fun with that at 844-SAY-ACCN.
No question. All right. I'm going to give you another one here that I think is an interesting case study in overall athletic history. And there's a convenient path, and then there's another path. Pittsburgh.
Are you going to give me one, or you want me to come up with one?
Well, Pop Warner won three national titles, but they were all prior to World War I.
So they still count, right? Alabama finds national titles in the dirt they added to them. So why doesn't that count?
Right. Yeah. 60 wins, three national titles.
How about these black and white photos here?
They're the best.
Walking around with a football in his arm, too. Like they don't know who he is.
Yeah, boys, I got a football. Look at Pop right there, settling in. Getting ready to tell everybody what the deal is.
And what a great name, too.
Is it fair to go over a century to say this is the founding father of our athletic program?
Why not? If that's the answer, then that's the answer. That's why this is a fun topic, because there are no rules. There are no rules here. You may come up. Jesse Haddock is... Jesse Haddock was what, 70s, 80s when he dominated and had the run? You go back as far as you want. You may say, hey, you know what? No, wrong answer. Okay, fine. Well, what is the answer then at Pittsburgh?
Sure.
We'll throw that out there for Panther fans. Again, we don't have all the answers. We're just kind of putting chum in the water here a little bit just to stir the conversation. But, Pop Warner is going to be on the short list. I would assume he'd be on the short list when you start talking about Pitt.
Okay.
Some folks may go, what about the university? Some folks may go, no.
We'll see. There you go.
Let's go Johnny Majors. I'm just saying that some folks may go there. I don't know where you're going to go. It doesn't even have to be football either. It could be some other sport that you go, no. This is what set the foundation for our athletic success. Don't know?
You and I both know that Pittsburgh has had flashes in both football and basketball.
No question.
Right?
No question.
Now, the flashes in football, the players, here's the other thing too, by the way. I'm not necessarily sure it's got to be a coach sometimes.
That is correct too.
I don't think it has to be an athletic director at times. For the University of Pittsburgh, in all honesty, Tony Dorsett could very well be the modern era founding father of the University of Pittsburgh athletic program.
Mm-hmm. You could go there. And I'll tell you one thing.
He's a generational type player.
I'll tell you one thing. When you start taking the very best you've ever had in football and put together a team, that crew from Pittsburgh, just saying.
Ooh.
That crew, you're going to throw the best of the best from Pitt. I think they take a look around the room and start doing roll, because there's some bad dudes coming from Pitt now. Just saying.
Yeah. All right.
Dan Marino.
Let's grab a call here before we get to Elliot Avent, bottom of the hour. Ron in New York. Ron, good morning. Welcome to Packer and Durham.
Good morning, fellas. My founding father is Ben Schwartzwalder.
That's a good one.
Uh-huh. There we go. There we go.
That's a good one.
Now, Ron, I'm going to ask this with all respect. Is it a Ben Schwartzwalder, Jim Boeheim discussion in your mind?
No.
And why would that be in your eyes? Just curious.
Well, I was at his – Roy Danforth for men's basketball would have been the founding father. He took the team to the Final Four, and he asked for more money. The university wouldn't give him a better pay, so he resigned. And then came Jim Boeheim.
All right.
Wow.
You know, there's some angles you can go with Syracuse. This is why this is a fun question. And like I said, your immediate response, you'll probably pause afterwards and go, did I leave somebody out? And the answer normally is yes, you did. Right? I think that's why this is a fun question.
Right? No question. I agree with you. I think you get a lot of interesting situations at several institutions.
Oh, we haven't scratched the surface yet.
Now, it's in. No. I mean, the Carolina thing.
Where do you want to go?
I mean, Dean Smith, yeah. Okay. But come on now. Karen Shelton, Anson Dorrance.
Would you go Dean with North Carolina? I mean, I'm just asking.
I could go Ben Carnevale.
How about the Frank McGuire?
Well, that's why I said in football, Carolina, you know how I feel about Jim Tatum. I mean, I think Jim Tatum is – Jim Tatum does not die from Rocky Mountain spotted fever. How different is North Carolina football in the 1950s?
We'll never know. I mean, Charlie Chee Chee Justice was a legendary figure. But, I don't know if – football was what everything else spun off of. You know, that's why I wouldn't answer it that way. But basketball.
You know who we're going to ask this question to? Don't you?
I do not.
Next.
Next. I know who's coming up next.
Elliot Avin will be all in on this now.
Yeah, he'll have an answer for this one.
You know Elliot.
North Carolina's hard.
Elliot will be all about this.
North Carolina's is really hard.
I think NC State's hard too. I think Earl Edwards and Everett Case are great answers. I think those are great answers. But is that you could get philosophical discussions here about impact. David Thompson might be somewhere on that.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Right now, we go to Raleigh, NC, because the Wolfpack baseball program is starting to find little signs of life. Got off to a sluggish start. Been battling COVID, a little bit of everything. But, man, right now, they're winning, and they're winning big. There he is, Coach Elliot Avent, looking good.
I wore this for Wes Durham and his incredible father, your incredible daddy, and my dad. We're all a product of who made us who we are, and I wore this for Wes Durham. And I'll never forget, Wes, a few years ago, and I told you the story. Your mom and dad came to see me because they knew I was friends with you. At Boshammer, they came to see me, and they wave at me and say, hey. And then your dad starts walking down all those steps. And I said, hey, Mr. Durham, no, stay right there. We can talk from right there. He's such a gentleman. He had to walk all the way down there so he could talk to me face to face. And that's the class act that he was. So I wore the Hey Woody shirt in honor of you.
All right. You are a good man. Your team has gotten things turned around here. Now, a couple weeks ago, we weren't allowed to have you on the show because you were fighting it a little bit. What all of a sudden has gotten into the Wolfpack? Swept the Tar Heels, went over to Greensboro. Chris Villeman threw a little one-hitter at him last night. Come on now.
I have no earthly idea. If I knew, it would have happened a long time ago. But I know our starting pitching has been phenomenal. I think we pitched like 5 guys in 4 games, and our bullpen's thin right now. They know it. They know they need to step up, but, you can know you need to step up, and that doesn't always happen. But they've been incredible lately, and and to help the pitching staff up out, they've put us in a place where we could take the lead early, relax them a little bit. Every game, it seemed like for the first month, before you got ready, before you thought about anything, it was 3-0, 4-0, and it just seemed like you had that hill to climb. But we got a good offensive ball club. We got a great defensive ball club. I don't know if we've made – I know we didn't make an error this weekend, didn't make an error last night. But beyond that, we've made some incredible plays, and our defense is fun to watch. And if we can continue to pitch like this, we're going to have a chance.
Coach, you know what looked good with that T-shirt? Is this right here.
What's that?
This right here.
Oh, it would. I thought you were going to put on Trey Turner's party hat. I really thought you were going to put on the party hat.
That's going to be after I meet with the doctor this morning. But this is what I got for right here. A little Packer and Durham NC State right there for you.
Yeah, right. That's good.
By the way, you know what? We talk about this league all the time. You know, you talk about the slow start. You know, the schedule has not necessarily been your friend either. I know you got to go play them all, but, man, it has been front-loaded with the very best in this league, and that's tough.
This league top to bottom, so whoever you play is going to be tough. But the first weekend, I talked to Wes's old buddy Randy Carroll. The first weekend, Georgia Tech, and Danny told me after the series, that's as good as we can play. And so Georgia Tech was phenomenal that first weekend. Then Miami rolls into town. But usually you have like 3 weeks in front of that with non-conference to get your team, try to get a semblance of who you're going to pitch and where the lineup is. You miss that this year, and then you open up with two teams that I thought played very well. Then Louisville rolls into town, and we know how good Louisville is. But this league is very unforgiving top to bottom, no matter who you play. But it was tough getting started, especially with a short preseason and some of the things that happened.
All right, so we know the value, though, of these little midweek non-conference games like you had last night with Greensboro. And now all of a sudden the schedule kind of starts to circulate from an ACC perspective. So how do we measure this? How are we supposed to look at, you know, the months of April and May headed to postseason, Elliot, with how good this league might be in comparison to others across the country just based on the awkwardness of the schedule?
Yeah, that's going to be a great job for the committee. And the committee's got their work cut out for them because they're going to have so much information. But they're also going to have so many things that they can't answer because of missed games. Like we missed a series with Duke, and we missed a series with VMI early. We have an open weekend in May with the reshuffling of the conference schedule. So there's a lot of factors. But I think they're probably going to look at how a team is playing, which they always do in basketball, how a team's playing late in the season. If you look at the Syracuse, how they were playing good at the end in basketball, made it to the Sweet 16. So I think that's going to be a factor because they're going to know all the teams early on had to deal with some things that were quite unusual.
Elliot, I'll tell you what else has been interesting about ACC baseball so far. And normally you see teams north get off to slow starts just because from a weather perspective. But, you know, Virginia Tech's gotten off to a great start. Boston College has been terrific. Notre Dame has been a pleasant surprise. It's kind of interesting how the quote-unquote northern schools, you know, Pitt, BC, Notre Dame, Virginia Tech, if you will, just given the weather, have really gotten off to starts that you go, wow, that's strong. And it goes right back to your point about how deep this conference is. I think, 11 or 12 teams have already been ranked in some shape, way, or form already this season. And there's always 7 or 8 in the top 25 anyhow.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Pac. This league has been so good for so long, but it's hard to rate it right now, but I'd say since I've been in the league, this might be the toughest league top to bottom. And Danny, who's been in the league longer than anybody, Danny Hall, he says he thinks the league's as good as it's ever been. And you talk about the northern schools. They built such great indoor facilities at Notre Dame. Boston College just built a new place, and it's helped them. Plus, they got great coaches in Mike Gambino, Mike Bell, who went to Pitt, and Link Jarrett at Notre Dame. So this league is tough, and you got to be ready to play every weekend. And for us, with all the great schools in the state of North Carolina and surrounding areas, you better be ready to play in the midweek as well.
All right, a couple of things here we got to get covered. You know, Pac's a big Giants guy. It's been well documented on our program that Packer is a huge Giants guy. Patrick Bailey, We feel like on the opening day, and that means you and Packer and garlic fries in the Bay Area at some time before the summer is out. Is that what we're thinking?
There is no question. You know, we missed the Kentucky Derby, and we're still upset about that. And so I can see me and Pack, we fit in really nicely in San Francisco. I can see us making that trip. But you know, Will Wilson had a terrific. He's having a terrific spring training, and so is Patrick Bailey. Mm. From what I'm hearing from the players, and they're gonna. I don't know if they're gonna open on the 40-man roster, but I think there's a chance that they do. And Nick Swinney left for spring training last week, and so anyway, it's gonna be fun to see opening day. I was texting with Trey yesterday, kind of messing around with him. He's selling his house in West Palm, near West Palm Beach down there. And I told him, I think he's putting up for $1.15 million. I told him I'd give him $950 cash. And he texts back, he wants $1 million. He just says he's ready for opening day. He's ready for opening day. I know all big leaguers are getting ready, and they're excited about the opening of the season.
Hey, Coach, I'm ready to go, baby. Let's do it. I'm ready. I'm packed up, ready to go. Anytime you want to go to San Francisco, watch a little baseball, we're in. We got it. I know people.
Eat a little baseball. Watch a little baseball. Eat a little pasta. We'll lay off the barbecue for a while. Eat a little pasta.
Oh yeah, we don't need the barbecue in the Bay Area. They do enough things that we'll handle the barbecue. They can handle something else. But we can go do the baseball.
We'll listen to the other Tony Bennett and ride some of those streetcars.
There you go. I hear you right there. No doubt. All right. So we got this topic going on the show this morning regarding founding fathers, and it started. When we discussed the late, great Howard Schnellenberger, who passed away over the weekend, was really kind of the founding father of Miami football taking over and winning their first national championship, and the rest is history. When I say that to you regarding NC State, the founding father, and you can go any direction you want on this, how would you answer that question for NC State?
I don't have to give you one name, right?
Whatever you want. Your
no,
call.
You can give us two. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, I can give you, because Everett Case, obviously, not only what he did for NC State, put NC State basketball on the map, but what he did for basketball in general in the Southeast, I think Everett Case has to be up there. Then you talk about, you know, Coach Sloan, Norm Sloan, but a name that you don't hear every day, that for all of us that know NC State history, Coach Sam Esposito. He was the baseball coach for 25 years. He built this program. Mm-hmm. He was like the godfather of NC State. Everybody listened to him. He was the assistant basketball coach for Coach Sloan when they won the national championship in 1974. As a matter of fact, he had a baseball game when they played UCLA in Greensboro, and he beat Coach Sloan everywhere. They met for breakfast over at the old College Inn. He'd be there when Coach Sloan got there. They went to play handball. He'd beat him to the handball court. And that day, Coach told me, he said, Coach Sloan said, I'll finally beat you to the Greensboro Coliseum. He said, no, you won't. Coach Esposito went out to the umpire first pitch, said some things, got tossed out of the game, got in his car and drove to Greensboro, and they beat UCLA. And when I was here, I wasn't here then. I was here as a student. But when I was here later with Coach Esposito, and Ray Tanner taking over the baseball program, but Coach Esposito still worked as an assistant AD. Val Vano went to Esposito's office every morning for advice, and that's where everything started, about 5:30, 6 o'clock at Esposito's office. And he is the godfather. Monty Tau will tell you he's responsible for his success in basketball. And back then they had a JV team, and Monty said, you know, he was so short and stuff. And so that's how Monty got up there. And, you know, everybody that knows anything about NC State history will tell you Coach Sam Esposito is the godfather of this university. And so for the founding fathers, for me, that's two names that I can pick out. And obviously there's so many. There's so many, from Coach V to Coach Sloan, who I mentioned, to Frank Whedon, the late, great SID, who everybody loved, Coach Yao, K. Yao. There's so many names.
That's a good call with Esposito, though. That's
See,
a great
I
call.
Told you. Did I tell you nine would deliver here, Packer?
Yep.
Did I told you, didn't I?
Yep. Never a doubt. Never a doubt.
Yeah. All right. That concludes Elliot Avent's segment on Packer and Durham for the month of March. Did real good, son. We're proud of you.
I tell you what, I record you guys every day.
That's a problem.
I skim through some of the shows because it's 3 hours, but I watch a segment of your show every day because I have it recorded before I go to bed at night. It just kind of unwinds me and gets me ready to go to bed. And you guys are unbelievable for this league, this show. I really believe this show has changed the league a little bit and gave an audience to people that would never know about sports. You do such a great job, and you're two of the best sports people that I've ever known. You really are.
Well,
you're incredible.
That's very kind.
Hats off to you guys.
I don't know if that's necessarily true. Perhaps we've helped therapists in the ACC region increase their fees, because if you're watching at least a segment of this show every day, you probably will need some medical assistance at some point in time. Maybe my guess.
Hey, I do have one thing. I got one thing here. We ran a clip earlier of you're wearing the all red. Is that in the uniform rotation? Is that your choice, or is that somebody else making a decision?
Jody Cahoon, who's been with me forever, he's our equipment manager. He's been with me probably 16 years. He's unbelievable. He started out here as a football student, a football assistant, and matter of fact, Coach Joe Pate called yesterday. We had a great conversation. You remember the great linebacker coach at NC State? He was turkey hunting in the woods in Alabama, and he called to congratulate us on beating Carolina. Matter of fact, Chris Corciani, he called from a different place, from Jekyll Island on the back of a boat, to congratulate us on beating Carolina. But Jody Cahoon picks out all the uniforms, and when he picked out that all red, I said, Jody, I'm not wearing it. I can't wear it.
Come on.
I can't wear it.
Come on.
I can't do it.
Come on, Elliot.
He said, Coach,
Elliot,
you love NC State. You love the red. I said, I can't do that, Jody. And he said, Coach, the players love it. And when he said the players love it, that was it. I'm not a big fan of the black. He tries to sneak in that black top, and the players absolutely love it. I'm a red and white guy, so I'm not a big fan of the black top. But I don't like that. But he sneaks that in once in a while. And I tell him, if you're going to sneak it in on the road. But I'm not a big fan of that. And that all red, he says the players love it. And he said, Coach, that's who you are through and through. So you got to wear it. So we do.
I tell you what, if you're winning games, it doesn't matter what you're wearing, Coach, right? It could be whatever you want it to be. As long as it's a W, let's sign up for it.
Absolutely. If Pete Rose was in that all red, I'd take it. You know what I'm saying? It's about wearing the uniform, not how it looks.
That's exactly right. Always a pleasure.
Hey, be well, my man. Great to see you. Stay
y'all
safe.
Y'all too. Thanks for what y'all do. All right. Bye-bye.
All right. You bet. Number 9, Elliot Avent. Friend for years, friend for tears, right? That's our boy.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
What's going through your mind as far as how do you adjust – how do you change the tempo, maybe, and hold on to that lead?
Your question so bad that the fire alarm has just gone off.
That's not a first.
It's not a first. All right, good, good. And if I see smoke, I'll tell you. But as of right now, we're okay. Okay, shh. They want our attention.
Fire has been recorded in the building.
There's a fire in the building. This is a first. This is an absolute first. It's pretty impressive. I'll say it only in women's basketball can you get a fire alarm going off during the damn press conference after the ball game. Anything else from anybody?
I think they're evacuating us, so I think we'll let you go.
Oh, hell no. Ask more questions, people. Go ahead and ask questions. Come on. It's the way my day's been going.
Love it. Such a great
it's the
answer.
Best.
Well, you know, and listen, consider the fact that he just saw his season come to an end and lost a 14-point lead in a second. I mean, to have that sense of, hey, what else could happen to me? You know, just go ahead, throw it at me. What else could happen? But we wish Jeff the best. He's built a great program at Louisville. Great program.
Doug Feinberg covers women's basketball for the Associated Press on the college level, and Doug offered this tweet last night. Apparently, the culprit to the fire alarm in the Alamo Dome was a hot dog roller, apparently caught fire at a concession stand.
Hate that.
Doug reporting it's contained. Well, that's good news. I think if it had not been contained, we would have heard a little bit more about it sooner. Nonetheless, a hot dog roller apparently set off a building-wide fire alarm in the Alamo Dome last night.
You just said something to me, though, during the break that, I got to be honest with you, is a little disturbing. And you told me that you don't like hot dogs at a stadium.
Right.
Why is that?
Right. It's just I'm not a hot dog. I occasionally maybe, but rarely. It's a rare thing.
God,
I like the pretzels. I like pretzels, peanuts, yeah, the beers.
We're talking about hot dogs. A hot dog roller was on fire. I can't believe a guy of your stature, who have been into so many stadiums and arenas in your illustrious career as a broadcaster and as a kid growing up with it, you are not a hot dog guy. I had three of them yesterday.
You had three hot dogs yesterday?
I had three hot dogs for lunch yesterday. Nice. I did.
Good. Yeah.
Park Road Shopping Center. You saw me over there. If you were a policeman, I would have bought one for you. Park Road Shopping Center.
It's not a hard and fast rule. It's just kind of a guideline for me.
Dude,
let's put it that way.
I have to have
There's
a
some hard and fast rules. Now, if you're telling me the hot dog is coming off a grill, okay, it's coming off a grill, I'm in. Like ballpark hot dogs. Ballpark hot dogs come off the grill. You know, they roll them on the grill. Got the grill marks on them.
I can't go to a baseball game and not have a couple at least. And here's the deal. The first two, you don't even chew. They just kind of dissolve. I mean, you know, you're watching baseball. You might have something cold and sudsy to drink if that's your thing. And, you know, a little mustard, a little onion. If your chili's good, I'm going there too.
Sure.
But the first two, you don't even chew. It's like cotton candy, Wes. It just kind of dissolve and now if you want to go get a hot dog, you go eat a couple more before the game's over. I can't believe you don't like hot dogs.
Yeah, but those are the steamers, right? The ones that are steamed in water.
You can steam them. No. You can grill them as long as they're cooked a little bit. I'm in.
I think you'd be surprised at the discerning hot dog fan who likes the grilled hot dog as opposed to the steamed.
I like all of them. But I tell you what, I do want. I want a soft, steamed bun. That's what I want steamed, is the bun.
Oh, okay.
When the bun's soft and wraps around it, and I don't want a Chicago dog. If I want a salad, I'd order a salad, and I'm not going to order a salad. I want a hot dog. I don't want green leafy stuff all over. That's or tomatoes. That's not a hot dog. Mm-hmm. Please, Chicago. You're a great food town, but I don't want that.
I will say, though, a ballpark, a given at a ballpark for me is the pretzels and the peanuts and the beer.
Yeah, I'm going dogs
Peanuts
first.
And the beer is a given.
I'm going dogs first. All right, we're going to go calls here?
You better take this one.
Let's do it. Robin, the Duke fan.
Better take this one.
Let's do it. Robin, the Duke fan, joins us. Robin, good morning. How are you?
Hey, doing great there, Pac and Wes. Good. It's great to hear from you guys and also see y'all. Hey, Wes,
you called
heard
us,
you was
thanks.
Out of the way. Hey, no problem, brother. It's close, about quarter nine here on early Wednesday morning. Brother, I'm glad to see that you're back on the Packer and Durham show. What'd you do? Have the virus our last week?
Yeah, a little coronavirus. Got through it though. Appreciate you.
Well, man, I know it's tough. So many people I know that's had it. But anyway, hey, guys, just want to say about the question of the day. I cannot remember about the mighty Blue Devils and the Duke, that mighty institution over there in Durham. I've got to go with Wallace Wade and Ace Parker.
Ace Parker now. I was waiting on Ace Parker today. Yep.
And you know what, Wes? In fact, he actually put, when he was coaching the Blue Devils, and they was the last time they went to after Omaha. And I don't look like it's going to be like that this year, but last year with all the stuff that was going on, I thought maybe that team they had last year that would have went, you know, after Omaha. But I'm just looking forward. I tell you what, though, I know one team that hopefully will probably be there, the men's lacrosse, and looking forward to tomorrow night for when they play those Tar Heels from over there at the and everything like that. So, but hey, anyway, Robin, guys, it's great.
Robin, stay
yeah,
tuned.
Go ahead, buddy.
Joe Bresci, the Carolina lacrosse coach, coming up here at 9:30, give you some keen insight into that game.
Okay. All right. Sounds great, brother. Sorry about the dogs.
Wow. Man. Wow. What kind of dog you got? What kind of dog is that,
my
Pat?
Dog.
It sounds like a wolf.
That's my German Shepherd. Duke, and I got my Border Collie's Coach K. Call him K.
So, you know, Robin, I've known you a long time.
Hey, stop.
I did not know that you had – wait, are you talking to me or the dogs? I've known you for a long time.
I'm sorry, brother.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay,
not know, number one, that you had dogs, plural, much less the names. Duke and Coach K are the name of your dogs.
Right. Border Collie and German Shepherd. We actually call them Border Collie K. So.
Makes sense.
How about that? Ain't you impressed there, Wes? Wes is all impressed.
Very,
with that.
Very. Changed the whole dynamic. Robin, be well, my man.
Yes, sir. Hey, it's great to hear from you guys.
Appreciate you calling.
All right, Robin.
Yeah, great to hear from you. I'm always fascinated, God bless him, how Robin calls, and he starts by telling us it's great to hear from us. Well, no, you called us.
He's the best, man. Robin the Duke fan.
He's the best.
He's had a tough year, though. Let's be honest. And I'll tell you what, Duke has had a really tough year with North Carolina. You pick a sport, and Duke's had an issue with North Carolina. But that's a 1-2 in men's lacrosse coming up tomorrow night. And it's a big deal.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.